With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
It seemed like a good idea at the time. It's still an okay idea, but Sal, did you know that the Monday night doubleheader in week one is apparently not a thing anymore?
Yes.
Okay, I
read
it.
That a couple of weeks ago is when that started coming out, where it's most likely not going to be the case. I don't know if it's officially firm yet, but I have read that, yes.
Do you think it's there's a good reason behind it? I know that they're, like the Peter King report said, instead there'll be a week 18 doubleheader, but come on, couldn't they also have this one? Why does this have to go?
I agree with you. I'm sure there's some sort of financial logistics involved somewhere along the line with this, with how many games each network gets and all those kinds of things with, you know, the packages. But yeah, I don't know. It was really nice to have it, but apparently it's not going to happen anymore. And yeah, we are going to have now some more prime time on that final weekend, actually.
Yeah, well, I'll take that, but I just want more games always. So we are here today to just, you know, we'll probably do it another time, but just set up a little bit of schedule predictions here. Week one primetime is our favorite. Now, last year the Bills got, it was four, right? Was it five? It was four primetime games, I think.
Hold on. Last year, no, didn't they get to five?
Was it five?
I'm going to look at their schedule right now. Hold on. Let's go through it real quick. They had, which ones were prime time? Well, because remember Denver. The COVID situation.
Yeah, we won't count Kansas City or Tennessee. Well, Kansas City does count. Kansas City does count.
Kansas City counts. How many were they scheduled for? Kansas City was one. The Niners were another. The Steelers were another.
And New England.
The Patriots were another. And then you had the Saturday Broncos. So it was four prime time, but you had the fifth, a national window.
Right. And there was a chance at the beginning or through the season that the Denver game could have been one too, but it was four. So four
correct.
Was a number.
Correct.
The team was great. The ratings were good. What do you think this year? Like, would you expect the same number?
Yes. I guess I could tease this now. I was kind of saving it, but since you asked and I can put it out there. Last year I had a great interview and conversation, I should say. People can judge if it was a great interview. It was a great conversation, I thought, with Mike North, one of the head schedule makers for the NFL. I'm actually going to talk to him again next week and I'll have a podcast on that. So I'll bring that up and ask him. But from his indication last year, Mike, was the Bills are a team that networks want. They want them on their station because they do draw good ratings. Now, I don't know if the luster's kind of worn off at all because of this young team that was kind of up and coming over the last couple of years, but I think with Josh Allen and the way he plays and so many people, you know, kind of buying into watching him and seeing, you know, whether he's going to fall on his face or continue this, I think they're probably still a team that resonates pretty well. So yeah, I think that would matter.
And of course, an extra game this year, so any kind of calibration like this, we want to consider that. Remember that there's an extra week's worth of games in the NFL season, 17 games, 18 weeks, starting in 2021.
That's right.
All right, so week one, Sal, the big question here. So the Bills had a great season, championship game against Kansas City. The Chiefs are on their schedule again in KC. The Buccaneers, who won the Super Bowl, are on the schedule too. Tampa, almost definitely. I mean, I think we're all assuming they'll be at home on the Thursday night to start the season. What kind of odds would you put on the Bills being their opponent?
So I will tell you right now that, you know, I think it's maybe a pretty good chance considering their schedule and who they could have. Percentage-wise, I don't know, but I'll tell you this. Even in Tampa, people are expecting, many people, either the Cowboys or Bills, I've been told. Like, nobody knows. It's not inside info. But in Tampa, people in the Bucs organization, people around that media, they expect it's either the Cowboys or the Bills. And I think that's right. So I'm going to say I think it's most likely, to me, one of those two teams. I would put more of an edge to the Cowboys for an NFC team, and it's the Dallas Cowboys. But I would probably put it north of 35-40% that it could be the Bills.
So you think it might be down to those two. Let's look at the rest of it and see what the other...
They have other... I do think they have other, obviously, you know, possibilities. Like, the Saints could be one, but who knows? There's no more Drew Brees, right? That takes the luster off that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that the Bills are right there with any other team for being that opening primetime Thursday night game.
All right. New Orleans, Carolina, and Atlanta. I doubt we would see Carolina or even Atlanta in that game, I think. The Giants, no. Do not... You know people there? Do not let that happen. Please, no. Not the Giants. It shouldn't be the Giants. And then, after Dallas and Buffalo, it's Miami.
And interesting.
Maybe. And Chicago.
Also interesting, I think.
I do, too. That's wrong. Their extra game would be on the road. Chicago, like, they get a lot of love in these kind of situations. They're hardly ever really good or fun, but they got to go to Green Bay for the season opener. Like, that's a rivalry. Maybe the Bears. Boy, I hope not. I don't want it to be the Bears. I think it should be Dallas.
I agree. I think it should be. I would put Dallas, if you had to rank them all, I think Dallas would be my number one on who I think it will be, not who I think it should be, who I think it would be and will be. I would put Dallas one. I would put the Bills two. I think I might put the Saints three because it's still the Saints. It's been a nice, you know, rivalry between the two, and maybe the networks want to, you know, kind of highlight what are the Saints without Drew Brees. You know, that might be a storyline there. Miami's interesting. Chicago's interesting. I think the Giants are probably, even though you say don't do it, we all know that it's New York. Oof. And generally one of the New York teams gets on primetime that first weekend, it seems like.
Yeah, but it can't be this game. One reason why it might not be Dallas is if they put Dallas on in primetime in another spot, like on Sunday. But, you know, Dallas was terrible. I think this is probably the only fit. And it's still, some people would say it's even forced. I mean, that was a bad team. It's just Prescott is back, Elliott back. Like, they should be Dallas again. Not that that means they should be great, but they should be at least sort of that kind of sexy team. So they would be my pick. All right. So Thursday, Tampa, either the Cowboys or the Bills, maybe New Orleans. I think we're on the same page.
Yeah, and I think the Bills have a really strong case here that it could be them, but I still wouldn't make them the favorite. I would probably put Dallas as the favorite, and I think there's a case to be made for a lot of these other teams as well. So, you know, we're talking a 1-8 chance. I just would probably put the Bills at 2 and maybe 3 at worst.
All right. Joe, you want to weigh in before we move off of Thursday night? Schedule prediction show, a special episode.
No, I still like it to not be the Bills.
Okay.
I don't love
Dallas. Yeah, what do we want? Do you want it to be the Bills, Mike?
No. I want week one at home, that classic hot season opener day at the stadium with a fully vaccinated and sellout crowd. That's what I want. I don't even really care. I mean, I could give you a preference, but I haven't really thought about who the opponent is. Joe's got a New England thing for that game.
Week one, New England at home. Let's just beat them down and party.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if we were going to do the Bills, but I got that written down. I actually have it written down in my notes. If I'm going to make a prediction on this schedule prediction show we are doing today at 5 o'clock for who the Bills' week one opponent is, I'm going to predict New England at Buffalo.
Yes.
For any reason? For any particular reason?
You know, I look back and I know it doesn't seem like they necessarily, this probably doesn't matter because, I mean, they've opened with the Jets 2 years in a row, one home, one away. They've opened with the Ravens 2 out of 3 years. But it's been a while for the Patriots, and was 2014, and it just seems like maybe that's a good storyline. Those two teams, what are the Patriots? You know, put them with Buffalo right away. It just seems like it might be something that, you know, the league might want to see.
Okay. So let's do Sunday night now. So there's no rules about Sunday night. There's nothing that we have to do on Sunday night. I think Kansas City is a great, almost not obvious, but sort of a an easier kind of a call there. They have, you know, two Super Bowl appearances in a row, Mahomes. Like, they are a draw. I mean, I'm not telling 100%. You anything you don't know, right? They are a draw. So
I have them down. I think they are going to, I have them down as my host for the Sunday night game. And there are several teams that I think could rise up to be, you know, who their possibility is. But I have one in particular, if you want me to tell you, that I think makes the most sense right now.
That
is the Green Bay Packers.
Okay, that isn't the Bills. Okay, Green Bay. That's the extra game.
Yep, they get Green Bay in the extra game. And I think that game suddenly becomes super appealing for Sunday night opening week. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, the league MVP, at Patrick Mahomes, two teams that both went through their conference championship games last year. I just think that this, to me, has it written all over it.
You know, I've tried this before, and I don't know if I've been able to sort of hold up a right answer in the two or three years we've been doing this. I think some games are too good for week one. Like when it was Manning and Brady, those Colt Patriot games were never in week one. They'd be in week nine and just sort of a marquee mid-season Sunday night game. I could see Green Bay and Kansas City meaning that to the schedule makers. Now, you don't know if there will be an injury. Green Bay played in Kansas City a couple of years ago on Sunday night. Mahomes was hurt in the middle of that season and missed time, so you wouldn't want to have that happen. That could happen anyway. You could get hurt before the opener. It's just, that would be my butt on that matchup. It's good. I agree with what you said, but I wonder if it's too good for the opener.
Yeah, because in that, the way that you're phrasing it makes sense, because people are going to watch that no matter what. You know, you don't need to put a marquee matchup on. You're going to get the eyeballs either way. So it's not like, even though the league, you know, wants to have great games and great matchups, that might be a spot where they say, we don't need it here. People are going to watch anyway. Mm-hmm. So if you don't go by that reasoning, I could make a case for any team on their home schedule. You still have Dallas there, like you just mentioned a little while ago. That could be something. The Giants, we know, they are typically a team that, or at least New York, one of them is on that primetime window. There's one less game this year. Cleveland suddenly becomes interesting after the way they played at Kansas City last year, the playoffs. Pittsburgh is there. And then you got the division teams, Broncos, Chargers, Raiders, all with their own storylines.
The Chargers are not terrible for this, but I think Cleveland is a good idea. I think the Bills are a good idea, but I think Cleveland with Beckham and Clowney, and I mean, that was a good game in the playoffs. I mean, Cleveland could be the right answer here. And there's also Pittsburgh. Wow, this is a great, this is a tough schedule to pick, you know, the answer. If they're even on the Sunday night game, they don't have to be.
No, that's right. And if they're not on the Sunday night game, who is?
Packers.
Probably, yeah. I mean, NBC loves Green Bay, loves the Packers, loves Aaron Rodgers. That would make a lot of sense. I could see that. I have to look now at their home schedule again. I was looking at a lot of these earlier today.
And there's Cleveland and Pittsburgh again, by the way. But how about Rams-Packers? What does that sound like, Sunday night week one?
That would be in Green Bay?
Yep.
That sounds good. You know, one of the things about this, last year, Mike, I thought it was pretty obvious that at some point they're going to highlight the new stadiums, L.A., and Las Vegas. Now, we haven't gotten to Monday night yet, and I think this is where this may come in. There's no new stadiums to highlight this year, but as we know, those two stadiums didn't have fans last year, right? So does the league say, hey, we're going to do a redo, basically, to make sure we highlight these stadiums and what they're like with fans in them on our opening weekend?
Maybe, yes. How about instead of that, the stadium point, would they want to pick a game where there would be fans, just in general?
I would think so, but
I don't know how much
the schedule comes out in May. Right, I mean, how do you know for sure? I mean, you're not going to know. You'd have to do it now thinking, okay, this particular region or area or stadium is going to have fans. That could change. You never know.
That's right. That's right. Rams 49ers could be a Sunday night game at LA, especially, I think, with that. I mean, it's LA, but two interesting teams with changes. if the 49ers are going to start a rookie quarterback, the Rams are going to have Matthew Stafford. Like that's pretty good. Maybe there's better. We still like the Chiefs for this, but that's pretty good too.
I mean, there will be a lot.
Do you remember last year's opening Sunday night game?
Yeah, it was Dallas at the Rams.
Yep, Dallas Cowboys at the Rams. That's right.
And I bet.
I wonder if the Rams would get 2 years in a row like that to open Sunday night.
FanDuel had a promotion where your first bet, now it's not something I could do in New York State, but your first bet up to like the max amount, they would cover it if you lost. Basically, they would give you credits if you lost and you'd have to bet that, but you would like basically almost a free roll. So I picked the under for that game as my bet. Drove to Pennsylvania, placed it, right? That was my pick, Dallas and the Rams under. And it should not have won, but it did. I mean, there was like a super long Dallas drive, and then they were stopped on fourth down, which is like, that's a dream outcome when you're an under bettor. It's just, I was lucky. Not any bet.
What was the over under?
I don't know, like high 40s, maybe 50.
Well, because it finished at 37, but it was 37 at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, it was easy. It turned out to be easy. Maybe the number was in the 50s, but I don't remember. I just remember it was that's what I'll remember that game for. All right, so Monday night, who knows? New York, you've tried to force the Giants into this plan here, Sal, already a few times. The Giants have been on a couple times. Last year, Pittsburgh, they had a game in Detroit that was a Monday night opener. The Jets at Detroit was a Monday night opener. Feels like market size is big, or can be. Pittsburgh, Washington was also one of these games in recent years. Is there any strategy for you to try to predict that game?
No strategy at all. Other than, well, yes, there was the stadium point that I was making. I just think that maybe at some point that opening weekend, they're going to want to be back at one of these new stadiums, LA, Las Vegas. I think Vegas fits here. I think Vegas could be the Monday night opener because they would be able to highlight that stadium with fans in it. You know, Vegas is still, it's the Raiders. You know, they're a national draw team, basically have fans around the country. That would make sense. But I still hold to, it seems like they always want to get one of the New York teams on the primetime, one of the primetime games opening weekend.
Yeah. Raiders have Baltimore at home. They have Philadelphia at home. Those could be interesting. Who knows? I mean, it could be anything, that game.
And do they play, let's see. Oh, here you go. Well, Giants play the Raiders, but that's in New York, so that wouldn't make sense for what I was saying. But
yeah,
that could be something like that. Giants, if you're going to go with the Giants, it could be home or away. I just think the Giants could be the team that's on there Monday night. You could go that could be where you get your Giants at Cowboys, but typically they like to put the Cowboys on Thursday or Sunday.
Those have not been division games. That's one thing about that spot. Those early Monday night games anyway have not been division games. So, yeah, maybe New York. If it is, it could be almost anything after that. I'm not really feeling the stadium point. I it's logical.
Right.
And you're just guessing at it too, I know, but I don't know. I just don't see that as a factor. Maybe it will be. We'll see. You'll find out perhaps in this conversation you're having next week.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
I hope so. I'm going to there's a lot of things I kind of want to ask Mike about next week when I talk to him regarding the 17th game and, you know, how they really kind of went about figuring that out. And we know they kind of had a plan for it from the beginning, but how that's going to factor into the schedule in any way, shape, or form. The other thing is, you know, at the end of the season, I think you and I talked about this, where those games at the end of the season really haven't meant, I think, as much as they thought they would over the last few years, making them all division games.
Right. Real quick, is Jacksonville a good idea or a bad idea for Monday night, week one? Are they interesting?
Bad idea.
Bad?
Bad idea.
Okay.
But I tell you this, though. The draft comes and then the schedule, and part of the reason they're doing that now is because of the draft and wanting to know what players are on what teams. And like he said to me last year, even though it was because of the pandemic, it actually got them to go, oh, you know what? Now we can actually maybe decide, oh, we weren't going to put this team on primetime, but they got this one quarterback we want to see, so let's do that. So maybe that does factor in with Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence.
Buffalo at Jacksonville on a Thursday night. There, I'm saying it now.
Let's do it.
Okay. Thank you, Sal. Have a nice weekend.
Okay, you too.
Sal Capaccio's appearances on WGR brought to you by Outlet Liquor, New York's only outlet liquor. What's your outlet? Joe, you want to draft something?
Let's do it.
Do we know what we're drafting?
Set up. We're drafting Dynasty Startup.
Dynasty Startup Fantasy. One quarterback. You and I will have one team each, or are we going to draft all the teams?
One team each.
Where do you want to pick?
The rest will be simulated.
Do we get to choose where we pick?
Yeah. Where do you want to pick? Middle? I always like picking in the middle because I hate picking in the middle. I feel like I need practice at it.
One quarterback, dynasty startup, mock draft. All right, you take the middle. I will take pick 4.
Okay. So you're four.
If I'm allowed to choose.
And I'm 6.
All right.
So
I can almost snipe you right away. That's a good strategy. Don't go for the best guys. Go for the guys your friends want. That's what you want to do. As if I knew.
Yeah.
All right. We'll have some fun with that when we return after the update. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog with Chris Off and Sneaky Joe here. This is WGR.
If I'm the Bills, I'm not really thinking about a tight end early in this year's draft. I recognize the opportunity to get better at tight end, and Dawson Knox has been inconsistent, but I can rant about Dawson Knox for a long time. But if the Bills really feel like they need to know that they're getting a guy that can upgrade that position in 2021, I don't think you're going to find that in the draft. It's not a great tight end draft. Pat Freiermuth, Tommy Tremble from Notre Dame, Brevin Jordan from Miami, those guys don't really have a favorable year one trajectory.
Some comments from Joe Marino visiting from the Draft Network on WGR this morning. Is Zach Ertz still not in play? Like, Ertz is on the Eagles.
There was, I don't remember who it was, someone in their mock draft last week, NFL Network maybe, had the Bills trading down from 30 to wherever the Eagles are, like 36, and getting Zach Ertz.
Okay.
But otherwise, no, nothing's happened with him. But he would still be in play, I would think.
Yeah, he's not going to be on the Eagles, is he? They're probably still trying to get something for him, I think, probably.
He could.
He could, but
they don't have guys to throw to.
Goddard is nice.
Yeah. For Goddard's sake, I hope that he gets traded.
Yep. All right, we are going to draft ourselves here. I'm moving to the second spot. I'm going to try 2.
All right.
This is a 12-team mock draft, fantasy football, dynasty startup, which means dynasty leagues, you keep your players, you know, for as long as you want. You're drafting for the present and the future. One thing, so we've done these, like last summer we did a few of these, just, you know, redraft leagues, the opposite, where you just, it's this year only, and then next year you start all over. And in a redraft, everybody has the same motive. In a dynasty, sometimes that's not the case. You have people that want to, and that's one reason why it's so great. I mean, these are the best. You have people that are like, win now, and others will slow play it and draft more of the rookies and draft for youth and be maybe even trade, if you can do it, trade a couple of guys for future draft picks, things like that, and just sort of take a slow build. You see both. Do you have a certain mantra when it comes to these?
I end up not drafting rookies a lot when I in my startups, at least. I like acquiring them down the road, but I like to see them in action a little bit first. So the couple of startups I've done in recent years, I almost never come away with rookies. They just go way too high.
Okay.
There's just too much doubt. I mean, like Daryl Henderson was a guy I fell in love with coming out of college football.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a mid-first-round pick, which is very valuable. In rookie drafts, he would have been a mid-first-round pick.
Yep.
2 years later, he's nowhere. And like that happens way too often for me to go all in on rookies like that.
Yeah, that's right. But I do. I probably will be younger than you are here because I just think.
We'll see, though, because also. Veterans
are, I mean, they're probably good value. Your way is fine.
Right.
Julio Jones.
Oh, he should
for
go.
For instance.
He should go.
Where?
Round.
Where does Julio Jones go in a dynasty startup? Like round 5?
I was thinking 8, but.
Round 8? Let's see what happens.
All right,
we're going to use the Sleeper app, 12-team draft, and we have started. And the guy I would have picked.
Went one. And I think it's. I don't think it's crazy, but I can't believe where we've gotten to with Jonathan Taylor.
Really?
I never liked the player. I know everyone loves him and loved him coming out of college. I didn't. But it's gone as good as it could have, really, so far.
I would have taken Jonathan Taylor 101 in this thing. Running back, just the most important position in fantasy. 1 year into his career, and you have that proof that he can do it, that his team is right. Like, it's just all, it adds up.
Backfield to himself, good offensive line. Yeah, he's got it. He's got the perfect situation right now.
I think he was going to be like an easy number one for me. But he's taken.
You did move back.
I did move back. I moved from one to two.
You didn't get anything for it, but you did move back.
All right. Let's see. How do I do this? I click on the. I'm clicking on the box, but not getting anywhere.
You should. You got. Do you see the two arrows at the bottom?
Yes. Okay. There.
There you go.
Okay.
Get your player list up.
I'm going to take Dalvin Cook.
Okay.
McCaffrey is the 101 in almost every like redraft this year, best balls and all those. But the age difference for me, and Cook got paid. He's on a team. We cold called Matt Collar, and like they're going to still run the ball. I think Cook is fine. I would have much preferred Taylor, but okay.
They are actually McCaffrey is younger than Cook.
Oh, is that right?
McCaffrey's 24 and Cook is 25.
But he's played for longer, right?
But if you look at, I was going to say, if you look at touches, I saw this a couple.
Are they the
ago.
Same draft year?
20, yeah, I think so.
17?
2017.
McCaffrey is 17?
McCaffrey goes 8th, and...
You're right.
Cook goes later. McCaffrey, though, is sitting on 1,000 touches for his career, and Cook...
He missed most of a year.
I guess actually it's pretty close. He's about 950, so I guess they are pretty close there.
Wow. All right, that's why this is a good exercise, because I would've, to me, those two players are different, but they're really not that different. 2 Dalvin Cook, 3 Alvin Kamara. What do you think of him right now?
I'm worried. I sold him actually in a dynasty league this year. And like my league couldn't believe it because I'm in like win now mode. My
because
team's
no
good.
Breeze.
No Breeze. I'm scared of it. I think there were a lot of pass targets to the running back.
Yep.
And if it's Winston, that's a lot of down the field. I think it's still good. And if it's Taysom Hill, that's a disaster because he doesn't throw to the running back at all in the limited action he did. He'll still be good. But he's not getting 100 catches with Taysom Hill.
Yeah, I generally feel the same way. I mean, I love the player, but a lot of questions about the situation on a team that's just forever been great for running backs, great on offense, but now no Breeze, we'll see. Christian McCaffrey goes 104. Patrick Mahomes, 105. That's fine, I think.
I mean...
10 plus years of Mahomes,
maybe. The longevity. You've got.
And so that leaves Josh Allen for you here, Joe. It's a one quarterback league, though.
It's a one quarterback league, but.
You think you could do quarterback in your first pick?
No, I don't think I can get there. Man.
What about receivers?
Receiver is what I'm looking at. I think I'm going to do a receiver, and there is a top tier for me. Because of the age of these guys, it's Jefferson, and because they've done it, and I'm not at Chase yet, Jefferson, A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill, and D.K. Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to go Justin Jefferson.
Wow. Second Viking. You just tried to copy me.
22 years old. we'll have to call Matthew again. I think that's just going to be great for a really long time. And I want to go young. I want to go young while also not going with rookies. And I think this is the place to do it.
Davante Adams is 28.
Yeah. Yeah, he wouldn't have... not in consideration for me in the first round.
Metcalf is probably, what, 24 at this point? Maybe younger? Maybe younger.
23. Yeah, 23.
All right. Justin Jefferson, first receiver to go, goes to Joe at 106 in our Dynasty Startup Mock Draft. DeAndre Swift... who I am way higher on than people I listen to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get why Swift isn't closer to a home run in the Dynasty community. I mean, it's the Lions, and they've made a lot of screwy decisions, but it's a new coach. They've drafted him. He was good.
Yeah.
The quarterback change doesn't have to matter very much. I'm way higher. I'm getting Swift a lot of these best ball drafts because I'm earlier to him than other people seem to be.
And Jamal Williams is good, but he's not some major threat.
No. I mean, he'll cut into it a little bit, but
nothing crazy.
No, I like Swift. So 8 is Adams. 9 is Derrick Henry. All right, we're going to say Team 9 is a win-now team.
Yep.
A.J. Brown, fine, at 10.
I almost went him at 6.
Nick Chubb at 11. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire at 12. Najee Harris on the turn. Edwards-Hilaire and Harris. I love that the rookies are here because the rookies would go early like this. Then Trevor Lawrence, quarterback 2 at 202. Kyler Murray, Jamar Chase, Aaron Jones, Tyreek Hill. This is cool. Well,
Lawrence that high.
Yeah, I know.
There's always a guy like that, though.
Who
will take a rookie like that on the hype, like that early. So.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, he's arguably the best quarterback prospect ever. So.
Yeah. I'm going to go Barkley here. I mean, the age is still... Like we mentioned, McCaffrey's 24 and Cook's 25. Barkley's 24, just turned 24. He's still on a team that's going to give him the ball as much as he can handle it when he's out there. I don't know what's to come with him next. If the Giants are bad this season and they have a new regime, a new GM, new quarterback, you know, there's doubt past this season. But he's good enough and he's young enough to where I'm going to trust that it'll work out for him. So,
all right, so you get your first running back in round 2. That's late for Barkley.
Yeah.
I could have taken Barkley.
2-7 in a dynasty startup. I think most drafts, I bet he goes higher than that. I wouldn't expect to get him there.
Devonta Smith at 208. Javonte Williams. Boy, the rookies. This group loves the rookies.
I love the rookies.
Kyle Pitts at 210. Now me.
Tight end is Kyle Pitts.
Should that be right? Is Pitts the number one dynasty startup dynasty tight end right now? Over.
Well, Kelsey's 32.
Yeah, but Kittle's young.
Kittle's young. Waller's a little older, 28.
Wow.
Yeah, no. I could get to Pitts, tight end 1.
I got a guy I like here. I mean, there are certainly other options. Some great receivers yet to be picked. I'm going Cam Akers. I like him a lot in drafts this year, too. I mean, by the time last season ended, he was great. And they acted like they knew it. I mean, into the playoffs, Seattle, Green Bay, Akers was the man for the Rams. Yes, Matthew Stafford now, but, I mean, it's Matthew Stafford. Like, Akers will still probably be a big part of their offense. And even though Henderson is there, I feel like he's probably pretty clear sailing to their number one running back. So... Akers is a borderline first-round pick in fantasy, I'd say, right now. And being that he's only 1 year in the league and this is a dynasty startup, I like it. Let's take a break there. 2 rounds. DK Metcalf was the last pick of round 2. And that's where we're at. We'll stop for a moment. 12-team dynasty startup mock. Why not? They said it couldn't be done. They said it shouldn't be done. That's what they actually said. They said it shouldn't be done. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe, this is WGR. Dynasty startup mock. Mock dynasty startup. Startup dynasty mock. I don't know the right order. But we're into round 3. And right at the second overall pick, Sneaky Joe, I feel that maybe... my course was charted. Dalvin Cook. Not a rookie. I mean, he's been in the league for 4 years already. Not Derrick Henry either, but or even Zeke. But, you know, a little bit of experience. And then Cam Akers. I come back with Cam Akers. Young, which I like, but also I think an RB1 this year going in. Looking at the rest of these picks, a lot of rookies... There's a guy I love. I always have him. You're going to know who it is. But I think, mate, what you want to do in these things, I think what I've learned is you got to track everybody else, see what kind of draft it is, and then, you know, zag when they're zigging, right? Just do something different. And I think maybe the play here is Travis Kelce.
Not worried about the age?
I'm going to go for it. I'm drafting against people that are picking Javonte Williams and Kyle Pitts and Devonta Smith in the second round. I feel like maybe there's an opportunity here. I'm going to take Travis Kelce at 302. After that, Zeke, Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, run on running backs. Sneaky Joe is up at 306. He's got Justin Jefferson and then Saquon Barkley. Good start.
And quarterback is on my radar here. You mentioned Allen maybe at 106, and he's still sitting here.
I did.
The way the draft is going, though, I'm going to feel like I can wait on that, and I'm going to grab easily my favorite running back left on the board. I've got him everywhere, Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, that's the guy I met earlier for me.
Yeah. What I'm waiting on, though, is where is the receiving? Because he was a wide receiver at college, but it was J.D. McKissic who had 100 targets last year. So I'm hoping that gets expanded because there was a lot of touchdown production from him last year. And I think if that regresses, you're going to need the receptions to go up.
Yes, I think it should. Curtis Samuel may complicate that a little bit for Washington.
That's also correct.
But
I feel like they're similar players.
Okay.
Like receiver, running back, hybrids. Gibson was used as a running back last year, but again, Gibson, he was a receiver in college. So.
Gibson is bigger, isn't
bigger,
he?
Yeah.
Like he was good.
Maybe they're similar.
He was good on the goal line, Gibson, last year. That actually saved him in fantasy for a few weeks there because he wasn't getting that volume, but he was scoring. So yeah, I love that
Gibson,
player.
Yeah, 3 inches bigger, and he's got 25 pounds. So yeah, definitely bigger.
Okay, so round three, Antonio Gibson to Joe. After that, DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen, back to back, Travis Etienne. David Montgomery, no respect. Austin Eckler, that's the end of round three. Team on the end has three running backs. Then goes Lamar Jackson, 401. CeeDee Lamb, Waller over Kittle. You see that a lot. Michael Thomas, Calvin Ridley, nice. Chris Godwin at 406. Back to Joe.
Of those quarterbacks I wanted, there's one left, so I'm taking him. Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
Best rookie season in NFL history, statistically. They didn't change a lot.
That is quarterback seven.
Yep. So Russell Wilson I left on the board. Prescott. I mean,
Watson.
For this year, I'd rather have Prescott, but Herbert's got 5 years on him, 6 years on him.
Well, I'm in win-now mode, Joe.
Well, you picked Travis Kelce, so. You go running back 1-2, and I think it's you quicker get to win now mode. When I pick Justin Jefferson first, I mean, I could have Jefferson for 10 years, 15 years. You pick Dalvin Cook and Cam Akers, you're in a 4 or 5 year window.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been, I guess, not Aaron Jones, but I mean, Akers is fine. Running backs, they're all so close together in age, right? Or experience.
Yeah.
It's not that much different. I should have been willing to go older, is what I mean to say. But who would the player be? Zeke, I guess, could have been the player. And I'm not sure I'd prefer Zeke to Akers this year. It's close. Mm-hmm. All right, so I don't have a receiver yet. Lots of good options. Receivers kind of get pushed down in these things often. I could look to Prescott here. I kind of like it. I'm at 2. The guy behind me has not picked a quarterback yet either.
You also have no receivers.
Yeah, I know. Win now, Mike Evans.
You're not worried about the touchdown luck for him last year?
Five
touchdowns at the 2-yard line.
That's fine, but there's more volume potential in Evans. I like Godwin, too. Is Godwin still up? No, he was taken.
Godwin was taken.
But this draft, like you said it too, this draft for me has become, it's relevant that it's dynasty, but I'm just sort of pushing. I did this in your hockey league. Didn't work.
Yep.
All right, Mike Evans and then T. Higgins, who's a good idea. Cincinnati at the end of round four. We'll continue next. Dynasty mock startup mock. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Happy Friday. This is WGR.